Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour with Total View. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on real milk when we come back. You know, in Leviticus 19, verse 19, it tells us that you shall not sow your field with mingled seed. Well, hybrid seed and genetically modified organisms are a crime, then. They violate the law of God. Now, a study from Cornell University says that an increasingly popular commercial corn, which has been genetically engineered to produce a bacterial toxin to protect it against corn pests, has an unwanted side effect. Its pollen kills monarch butterflies and butterfly larvae in laboratory tests. Now, the questions that the Cornell people left unanswered are even more telling. What else does it kill? Surely butterflies aren't the only unintended victims here. Poisons, after all, aren't too picky. Does it cause mutations? And if so, what plants, animals, or insects are affected by these mutations? And when do you know if you're eating it? Is it in your grits? Is it in your cornbread? Well, we know it turned up in Taco Bell tortillas. Now, if it's in a food product, will it be labeled as containing genetically modified organisms, also known as GMOs? And will the stores pull those products from the shelves like they did with the tortillas after they got caught, of course? Or will they just ignore the problem and look the other way? Well, so far, government, the Department of Agriculture, the Food and Drug Administration, and the multinational seed, petrochemical, and food processing corporations have ignored critics of agricultural biotech who want the government to require labeling of that food that contains GMOs. Now, in this battle between your health and safety and the financial interests of these multinational seed and food processing companies, you lose unless you have your own non-hybrid open-pollinated seed that are not genetically modified. Now, here at the law school, we have a program to teach you how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. It's a 5-day school and includes lessons on marketing and GMOs and business plans and growing organic foods. Why don't you call today and order our free General Law CD package? It's a 4-hour program. It's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational. And best of all, it's free of charge. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967 to order yours. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. We've been reviewing the Acres USA article in the May 2006 edition of Acres USA entitled Real Milk. So we've been talking about that nasty, no good for you bad stuff called raw unpasteurized milk. And I've now come up with 18 reasons why I prefer, this is just George Gordon speaking now, I don't want to advocate that you drink raw milk, because after all, it's a hazardous substance. Raw milk is outlawed in most states in the United States to protect you, the general public, from being affected by this. The government wants to protect you from raw milk like they want to protect you from alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and trans fat. That's right. For you people living outside the United States, let me explain that here in America, we live in a paternalistic social welfare state in which the government protects us from ourselves. And they take away from us, and with good cause, they take away from us our freedom of choice to protect us from ourselves, because if they didn't, we would all become alcoholics, we would kill ourselves with tobacco, we would become drug addicts on marijuana, cocaine, and heroin, and we would become immensely obese and fat from eating trans fats that we get from our fast food restaurants like McDonald's and Burger King. And so fortunately, we have wise people in government and industry who legislate, make laws, and create protections for those of us that might want to exercise freedom of choice. And when we broke off last time, I gave you a quotation from a Dr. Henry, who raised the specter in his letter, cited in a book, of the host of diseases that you could contract if you drank raw certified milk. I mean, if you drank raw milk, here's what could happen to you. He said the consuming public can be guaranteed that the milk that they're purchasing, if it's pasteurized, is free of disease-causing microorganisms such as brucellosis, tuberculosis, paratyphoid fever, typhoid fever, salmonellas, shingleosis, and Q fever, just to name a few. He went on to say that when consuming raw milk, who can be absolutely sure that it's free of these foregoing microorganisms? These are diseases that can kill, and some people want to allow the use of raw milk, all in the name of freedom of choice. Even with all of the testing of both cows and milk, people who drink raw milk are exposing themselves to potential life-threatening diseases. Unquote. And so, fortunately for those of us that live in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, we have wise and benevolent rulers and leaders who protect us from raw certified milk. For those of you that live outside the United States, it's too bad for you guys. Now, I underlined this term here that he used, all in the name of freedom of choice, and I thought that that was what America was all about. It was about freedom of choice. I thought that that was the essence of liberty. It's the right for people to make choices for themselves, even if the choices are bad choices, like smoking. Now, I'm an old-timey smoker, and I smoked for many years, and then one day I woke up and I said, I don't think this smoking is good for me, so I think I'll quit. And then I did. And I know of millions of people out there that have done the same thing. I don't personally know millions of people, but I know of millions of people that have done the same thing. We had the freedom to choose, and we chose to smoke. And then we decided that it was bad for us, and so then we decided not to smoke anymore. I know it's a wild new idea for most of you people out there that people could actually make choices like that for themselves. I remember a statement here in the Bible. In Genesis 1, verses 28 and 29, and there's a couple of scriptures there in which God said that he has given us every green herb. Every green herb. I got to thinking about that, and I says, well, gee, cocaine comes from a green herb. Heroin comes from a green herb. It's a poppy. And marijuana comes from a green herb. But fortunately for us here in America, our government has wisely banned the use of these green herbs that God Almighty thought that we could handle. Well, God made a mistake. God made a mistake. We Americans are unable to handle cocaine, marijuana, and heroin. And therefore, our wise and beneficent leaders have banned those green herbs so that we can no longer use them. But there was a time in America when evidently we were more competent and capable in the olden days than we are today. Now, my great-granddad, to the best of my knowledge, never did become addicted to heroin, even though it was legal and he could go out and buy it and use it anytime he wanted. And I guess he chose not to use it. And cocaine, it was well known. And in fact, you remember the story of Sherlock Holmes? You know, this guy Sherlock Holmes was using heroin or something like it. It was legal, and if you wanted to use it, you did, and if you didn't want to use it, you didn't. And so, evidently, we had marijuana. In fact, it's called hemp. They used to make rope out of it. And so the growing of hemp in America was a pretty common practice. And I imagine there were people that abused it and took that rope and smoked it and probably stuck it in their ears and up their nostrils and under their armpits and did all kinds of other crazy things with it. And it was probably bad for them. I had an uncle one time, my Uncle Carol. He died of alcoholism. He chose to drink alcohol, and he drank so much of it that finally he became an alcoholic, and it finally killed him. You know, long before he was 70 years old, and he was 30 when he died. And in the Bible, God tells people that no drunkard shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, and no glutton shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And as far as I can tell, there have been drunkards and gluttons throughout history, people that couldn't control or couldn't handle food, people that couldn't control or handle alcohol, and there are people that can't control or handle marijuana, heroin, cocaine. I don't deny that. And obviously, there are people out there that cannot handle raw, unpasteurized milk, for which we need to be protected by government. So that if you get caught with this raw milk or you get caught selling this raw milk, you can be put into jail just like you can for selling alcohol without a license or tobacco without a tobacco stamp or marijuana, cocaine, heroin, or for that matter, bloodroot or some other herb that's been banned by government, the wise, omniscient, benevolent rulers and leaders of the social welfare state who decide for you that freedom of choice is bad for you. And that's what this Dr. Henry says. He says, all in the name of freedom of choice. Yeah, I'd like to second that. I think that all of these substances ought to be unregulated and decontrolled, all in the name of freedom of choice. But there's an even more important reason than that. Today here in America, we spend billions of dollars. We have a drug czar, and we have a god-awful drug problem. I mentioned this to you, I think, the last program. This is a number that really was shocking to me. Did you know that 82% of Americans, I mean, just the average Joe Sixpack, there's 300 million of us, and 82% of us take one prescription drug on average. I mean, I know that you probably don't take any, but I'm just pointing out that 82 Americans, out of 100, go out and count them, 100 Americans, go count 100 of them, 82 of them take at least one prescription drug. And if they're over 65 years old, they take on average 6 prescription drugs. Now, I would call that drug addiction. And our government doesn't protect us from 130,000 deaths that they admit to. It's more than that. But there's 130,000 deaths a year that come from the use of these drugs. And these are legal drugs. These are the drugs you get from your doctor, that you get in the hospital, that you get from your local friendly neighborhood pharmacist, and they kill 130,000 people a year. Conversely, the bad druggists, the bad guys, these drug pushers, these wicked, evil, horrible people that sell cocaine, marijuana, and heroin out on the streets, that's totally unregulated, illegal, and unlawful. Wicked, evil people. Drug dealers. Okay, well, they only kill 6,000 people a year. 6,000 versus 130,000. Now, that 130,000 isn't very accurate or correct. I don't know of anybody outside of government that passes that kind of propaganda off to you, and I believe that that number, 130,000, is correct. It's more like 260,000, double that, and it could be even double that number, somewhere around, you know, 500,000. But again, I just use the number that they admit to. That's 130,000. Now, I'm going to use my famous Sharp EL1197 G3 calculator and plug in 130,000. Divide that by 6,000. You're 21 times more likely to be killed by your doctor than you are to be killed by a drug dealer down on the corner. Now, our government sees fit to protect us from the drug dealer down on the corner, but they don't do anything to protect us from the doctors and the Rexall and the Osco Buttrey drugstores and those pharmacists and those paid professionals that kill 21 times more of us than do the other drug dealers. Now, that leads me to the conclusion that in all probability, our government is not actually in the business of protecting us or protecting our lives from these hazards. So then I got to ask the question, well, how many people are being killed by raw milk? And back during the olden days, at the turn of the century, here in the book that I'm reviewing here called The Milk of Human Kindness by William Campbell Douglas, he points out that thousands of little children were being killed by raw milk before the turn of the century. And that's really bad. And it was caused by dirty milk. So in the last program, I explained to you from a dairyman's point of view what this dirty milk is all about. And I also pointed out to you that there is a distinction between this real milk, that is, raw milk, and store milk. And that before the turn of the century, that's, you know, in the 1890s and the early 1900s, that thousands of people in America were dying, little children were dying, from this dirty raw milk. And I don't deny that. And this dirty raw milk, if government was going to protect us, should have protected us from the dirty raw milk. And so they came up with a solution, and the solution was pasteurization. But the pasteurization has now killed more people than the raw milk did prior to the government's intervention. See, that's my point. If the government could come in and give us a solution to the problem, well, then I'd be all for that. But the government came in and gave us a solution to one problem and gave us a worse problem. And that worse problem is that the store milk today contains no enzymes. And you have to have these enzymes in the milk in order to digest it. And so because it doesn't have these enzymes in it, it gives us cardiovascular disease. And so there's many more people dying from heart attacks and strokes today than ever died from the bacteria that was in the raw milk to start with. Not to say that we should be selling raw milk with bacteria that kills people, you know, with typhoid fever and cholera and other infectious diseases, but my God, you know, it's kind of like the drug problem you've got today. You've got the government fully involved in the drug industry and in drug regulation. And the legal drugs that the government authorizes us to take kills 130,000 of us, and the illegal drugs that the government allegedly is supposed to be protecting us from only kills 6,000. Well, boys and girls, there was a time in America when drugs were totally unregulated, and we didn't have this problem. We didn't have 82% of Americans, on average, taking at least one prescription drug in America when I was a kid. We do today. We didn't have any drug problem 100 years ago. My great-granddad and my granddad and my dad, in the era when there was no regulation concerning drugs one way or the other, they didn't get onto cocaine, heroin, or marijuana. Evidently, when we were Americans and then when we were practicing the Ten Commandments, instead of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, we had a different moral outlook toward drugs and witchcraft and government and freedom of choice than we have today. And I would contend that we had a better outcome that came from that. Now, getting back here to the story of milk, the technique of pointing with horror at non-existent problems has undoubtedly discouraged many people from drinking unprocessed milk. The many years of consumption of raw certified milk by tens of thousands proves beyond a doubt that the terrible specter raised by Dr. Henry simply does not exist. But the Council on Public Health and Regulatory Veterinary Medicine continued the myth by passing a resolution as recently as 1979, condemning the use of raw milk on the basis that it was unsafe. Only pasteurized milk and milk products should be sold for human consumption. This resolution indicates the rampant ignorance and prejudice existing concerning the modern production of unprocessed milk. This ignorance and prejudice is not only present in the veterinarian field, but it is almost universally found in the field of human medicine as well. Back in the days of our pilgrim fathers, tomatoes were considered to be poisonous. One iconoclastic gentleman ate a tomato in public to disprove this superstition. Everyone who watched this test thought that he was committing suicide. He survived, but it didn't change anybody's mind. And if this experiment had been done in public by a woman, these same people would have burned this woman at the stake for witchcraft. Now, the tomato story has its modern counterpart. Paul Virgin of the Altadena Dairy drinks raw milk on television to prove that raw milk contains no evil spirits. In contrast, homogenized pasteurized milk is an unhealthy product, as shown by many tests. The avoidance of nutritious, safe, raw certified milk today because of previous disease conditions that no longer exist is as absurd as it would be not to eat tomatoes in the 20th century because they were considered to be poisonous back in the 17th century. And it's surprising that pasteurization caught on, as most knowledgeable milk scientists at the time did all that they could to ferret out the pasteurizers who operated illegally and undercover. But the milk lobby eventually won, and they made the process respectable. In 1947, Michigan passed a compulsory pasteurization law, and the rest of the nation rapidly capitulated. Junk milk by 1960 was compulsory in every state in the Union. The dairy industry is committing suicide. Milk consumption is decreasing relative to the growth of population. Now, the reasons that milk consumption in the United States is decreasing at the rate of 1% a year, and has been over the past 30 years or more, is because the false propaganda about cholesterol and fat-caused hardening of the arteries, heart attacks and strokes, promulgated by the news media with the blessing of organized medicine. Milk consumption is dropping because many people simply don't like the taste of heat-processed milk. One reason the pasteurized milk doesn't taste like milk back on the farm is because of the practice of holding over milk. The milk is placed in large raw milk silos until ready for processing. It may stay there for days. This favors the growth of bacteria called psychrotropics, and these bacteria grow quite nicely at the refrigeration temperatures of the silos used for milk storage. These psychrotropics produce enzymes that are extremely heat resistant and easily survive the pasteurization process. That's why your pasteurized milk may taste bitter, unclean, oily, chalky, metallic, or medicinal. Now, the serious allergies that heat-processed milk has caused among children and adults alike. Pasteurized milk allergies caused by altering the milk proteins through heating has caused a major health problem here in the United States. And finally, number four, the growing realization among consumers that processed food, which includes pasteurized homogenized milk, is in fact a health hazard. In this modern world, yesterday's crime, such as abortion, becomes today's essential service. Pasteurization was a crime at the turn of the century, and the pasteurizer had to lurk in the dark to kill the milk. Although all of the sophisticated biochemical knowledge that we have today was not available to them, milk experts knew that heating milk, as in the pasteurization process, was changing a live food into a dead food and was simply a cop-out for the dairy farmer who did not want to produce clean milk. It's much cheaper to produce dirty milk and then kill most of the bacteria by heating that milk than to maintain a clean dairy and clean cows and produce clean milk. Now, figure one on the following page would indicate that since pasteurization of milk, infant mortality has steadily declined. In 1908, there were 75 infant deaths per thousand. In 1970, there were only 10. But if this graph is expanded, as it is in figure two, it is immediately obvious that pasteurization had little to do with the drop in infant mortality. There had been a steady decline in infant mortality since the middle 1700s. The middle 1700s is when the infant mortality rate began to decline. The greatest contribution to the eradication of infectious diseases was the automobile. The automobile has given us a lot of pollution, but it replaced a far worse pollution, and that is horse pollution. Now, it's hard for modern man to imagine just how filthy the big cities were when everything in the city moved by horse. People, whether they were rich or poor, virtually waded through a sea of horse manure. With the manure came flies, billions of flies. And with the flies came infectious diseases, the major cause of death until the mid-20th century. Only the hardy survived, which is probably the main reason that man eventually triumphed over infections. But the elimination of the horse from areas of high population density was a major factor. And it is also interesting to note, returning to figure two, that the boxed-in area also represents the age of immunization and antibiotic therapy. The period of greatest usage of antibiotics has been from 1950 to the present. As the graph illustrates, the rate of decline in infant mortality has been actually less since the advent of the miracle drugs. Now, Dr. J.M. Prucha, he's a professor emeritus in dairy bacteriology at the University of Illinois, more than 40 years ago, said that there was much opposition to the pasteurization of milk, and at best, it was looked upon as a temporary expedient to obtain a safe milk supply until the time when the dairy industry would learn to produce clean, pure, safe milk. Now the propaganda that pasteurized milk is safer than fresh, This propaganda that pasteurized milk is safer than fresh, raw, certified milk can be easily put to rest. In 1945, there were 450 cases of infectious disease caused by raw milk. You got that number, kids? Put it down. 450 cases of infectious disease during the year 1945 caused by raw milk. There were 1,492 cases of infectious disease caused by pasteurized milk in 1945. Now, knowing that statistics don't lie, but rather statisticians do lie, let's look at the figures from a different angle. There was one case of disease for every 12,400,000 quarts of pasteurized milk consumed, and one case of disease for every 18,900,000 quarts of raw milk consumed. In other words, you could drink 6,500,000 more quarts of raw milk than pasteurized milk without getting sick in 1945. So in 1945, there was an epidemic of food poisoning in Phoenix, Arizona. The official report reads, quote, pasteurization charts show milk was properly pasteurized and leads to the assumption that toxin was produced in milk while it was stored without refrigeration and was not completely destroyed by pasteurization. 300 very sick people from pasteurized milk. Great Bend, Kansas, same year, 1945, had 468 cases of gastroenteritis from pasteurized milk. This was traced to unsanitary conditions in dairies, unsterilized bottles, improper pasteurization. 9 people died. I mean, kids, I mean, if you think that pasteurized milk now is the solution to disease, you got this all wrong. Now, we don't have raw certified milk in the United States. I say we don't have it. There's a couple of 3 exceptions to that. But as a general rule, it's been banned from the country. Disease today in America that comes from milk is coming from pasteurized milk, kids, and there's a bunch of it. Now, the reason this author goes back to 1945 is because in 1945, health department statistics can show us the difference between pasteurized and raw milk. Today, you can't. You don't have any raw milk out there. There's nothing to compare it to. So we go back to 1945 when we had something to compare it to, and we find that pasteurized milk causes more death and disease than the raw milk does. But then that shouldn't be too surprising, children. In the real world today of 2006, legal drugs kill 21 times more victims than illegal drugs. So you shouldn't be surprised that pasteurized milk kills more people today than raw milk. It always has. Now, government came into the milk business not to protect you from unsafe milk. Government came into the milk business to protect big multinational corporations like Borden and Mid-America Dairy Corporation. They came in here to protect a monopoly for business. It has nothing to do with people. Government doesn't regulate drugs, children, to protect you and your life. They're there to protect the pharmaceutical industry from competition, for crying out loud. No, I'm not here to tell you to change things. I don't care what you do. My job as a reporter is to report facts. I mean, you can make an intelligent decision. I'm not here to tell you to drink raw milk. I don't care. I told you, here's why I drink raw milk. And what I'm pitching is, would you people out there who are smarter, wiser, and more omnipotent than the rest of us, get off our case and let us drink our raw milk? Would that be all right with you people out there? Would it be okay with you if we exercised freedom of choice? I know Dr. Henry said that we shouldn't have freedom of choice, that we should not be allowed to choose raw milk over pasteurized. But I just thought I'd point out that my chances of dying from pasteurized milk are much greater than if I drink raw milk. And I would rather err on the side of that statistic that gives me a better chance of living and surviving. And I'd like to make that choice for myself rather than have you make it for me. Now, I'm a big boy, and I'm prepared to let you make your choice for you. I'm prepared to let you make your choice. You drink pasteurized milk. You vaccinate your children. And you buy your drugs from the safe, wholesome supplier at Rexall. And I'm not getting in your way. So why are you getting in my way? All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not totally endorsed necessarily by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct here at the Law School. Numbers 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about milk, raw, that nasty, raw, unpasteurized milk. From a book called The Milk of Human Kindness Is Not Pasteurized by William Campbell Douglas. You can probably get a copy of that from Acres USA. And I'm going to give you their phone number so that you can order a copy. I don't know what it's going to be, but if it was $50, it would be well worth $50, and I'm sure you can get it for a lot less than that. You might even be able to get a book like this from Barnes & Noble or from a used bookstore. But the number there is 512-892-4400. That's in Austin, Texas. Area code 512-892-4400. They have in stock over 500 book titles. And I believe that that book title or a variant of it is there. That's called Acres USA. All right. Now we're talking about milk, pasteurized milk. 1944, there was an epidemic of food poisoning, remember? 9 people died. This is back in 1945. In June of 1982, over 172 people in a three-state area of the Southeast were stricken with an intestinal infection. Over 100 required hospitalization. The infection, which caused severe diarrhea, fever, nausea, abdominal pain, and headache, was caused by, you guessed it, pasteurized milk. The toxin from bacteria largely responsible for diarrhea, the enterotoxin, is largely unaffected by pasteurization. If raw milk is contaminated to a significant degree, you can tell it instantly from the smell and taste. But you see, pasteurized milk may be seriously contaminated with no telltale odor at all. Consumer Reports in January 1974 revealed how shoddy milk production is in the United States. Out of 125 samples of milk and milk products, 44% proved to be in violation of state regulations. Okay, now I'm going to underline that. 1974, Consumer Reports revealed how shoddy milk production in the United States was. Out of 125 samples of milk, the milk products, 44% proved to be in violation. Now listen, this is the pasteurized stuff. This is the same government that is protecting you from drugs. Now let me make you a little challenge here. Can you just point to one activity that government has gotten involved in, just one, that worked and has done something for the American people, the average Joe Sixpack, without the side effects that cause a greater problem than they tried to fix? Can you name one? Would you send me an email here to the Law School and tell me what that is, so I can put it on the air, so that I can say, oh my God, the government actually succeeded. Here's what they've done, and here's the solution to the problem that they proposed, and it actually worked. Name one, could you? Your government is involved in drugs and drug regulation, and they kill 21 times more people in the process than the illegal drugs that they're trying to protect us from. Then they give us pasteurized milk. They kill God knows how many more people. You know, we can't blame all heart attacks on raw milk. I mean, on pasteurized milk. We can't do that. But boys and girls, back at the turn of the century, your chances of having a heart attack were fairly remote. Today, they're fairly common. What has happened over the last 100 years? Now, you know, we've got this thing called trans fats. And now they've finally woken up, awakened to the fact that these trans fats are killing us. And so, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King are going to get rid of the trans fats. That's hydrogenated vegetable oil. All that stuff's been around since World War II. I mean, they wanted to protect us from butter, for crying out loud. So they gave us margarine. They want to protect us from illegal drugs, and so they give us iatrogenic disease. They want to protect us from heart attack and stroke, so they give us trans fats. I mean, come on, guys. Isn't it about time we started thinking for ourselves and said, hey, wait a minute. You know, the government recommends that we drink
pasteurized milk. That means it's probably bad for us. The government recommends that we buy drugs from Rexall. It's probably bad for us. The government recommends that we eat at McDonald's. That's probably bad for us. Can we figure that out yet? If the government puts USDA approved on a side of beef, it's probably not fit for human consumption. That's the bottom line. The quality of a number of the dairy products in this study was little short of deplorable. Consumers Union reporting in June of 1982 stated that fecal bacteria, called coliforms, were found in many samples tested. Some had counts as high as 2,200 organisms per cubic centimeter. Raw certified milk must contain no more than 10 coliforms per cubic centimeter. Now let me put that in perspective. Remember what I told you about the milking machine that falls off the cow during the milking process? Now, I'm an old-timey milker, and I'm going to tell you once more how this game is played. Cows defecate quite often. And when they come in the milking parlor or come into the barn, they defecate. Now we've got hoses there, and we wash this away. I mean, you know, dairy barns are pretty clean places. I'm not denying that. But I'm going to tell you from personal experience that every once in a while, a milking machine gets kicked off, and some fecal material gets into the milk pipeline. We don't break that down. We filter it out. And when it's tested, this pasteurized milk now, when it gets tested, comes out of the bulk tank, and you know, this beautiful stainless steel tank and all the glass pipelines and all this good stuff, you know, that goes along with this. I mean, it looks real clean. It's like a hospital. It looks like it's a real clean place. But listen, there's more bacteria and there's more infections in the hospital than any other place. And here in this pasteurized, this clean, sterile, stainless steel environment, there are organisms. And these organisms get into the milk. Now, the raw milk, you can't have more than 10 of these coliforms per cubic centimeter, but in pasteurized milk, it's 2,200. Can you see that? Let me put that into my famous Sharp EL1197. And here's what we got, 2,200, and let's divide that by 10. That's 220 times more of those bad thingies in your pasteurized milk than there is in raw milk. It still doesn't kill you. 220, you know, probably aren't going to kill you. But, you know, people keep telling me that, well, pasteurized milk is clean. No, it isn't. It's dirty, rotten garbage is what it is. Now, there, I said it. Pasteurized milk is dirty, rotten garbage. As is proved over and over again by consumer reports and by the government's own testing organizations. But see, they don't tell you that. And I did. Now, again, I'm not here to tell you what kind of milk you ought to be drinking. I don't care. It's getting off my back. But now, after having listened to this report, now if, perchance, you say to yourself, oh, my God, maybe, raw milk isn't as bad as I thought it was. And then maybe if you'd like to get real daring and try some. I'm warning you, no, only a lunatic fringe would drink raw milk. But, you know, again, I drink it, and I'm a lunatic fringe. Here at Acres USA, remember when we started the article, we started this report, Real Milk for Real People. And there's a lady in here by the name of Sally Fallon in the May 2006 issue of the Acres USA paper, for those wild and daring people that want to choose for themselves. And she has a little section here, says, what is real milk? And they kind of explain it. And then it's reprinted courtesy of a campaign for real milk, a project of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And this Weston A. Price Foundation has a website called www.realmilk.com. That's fair to middle and simple. So if you want to go to their website, it's www.realmilk.com. And then you can, they've got a list there of all of the producers of raw milk here in the United States and the methodologies that they have to use in order to sell that raw milk to you. I mean, it's not easy. Buying raw milk in the United States of America is like getting cocaine. I mean, you know, you've got to be very cautious and very careful about who you talk to. Well, in some states. Some states, like Missouri, for instance, you know, we're real forward and progressive here in this state. I can actually sell you raw milk. It's not against the law here. And that just goes to show you that our legislature doesn't care about your health, safety, and welfare. They allow the sale of raw milk in this state. See that? But in other states, they're real concerned about you, and so they want to protect you from these dirty, shady people that sell this raw milk. And so they're going to protect you by putting those people in prison if they can get their hands on them, if they can find them, if they can catch them. They'll jail them. They'll take their farms and their cows and everything away from them. They'll punish those suckers. All right, so now that you got that straight. Remember Consumer Reports of January 1974? As we stated earlier and confirmed by Consumer Reports, the former objections to pasteurized milk are just as valid today. Pasteurization is an excuse for the sale of dirty milk. That's the reason that we have pasteurized milk. Boys and girls, if the milk was clean to start with, we wouldn't need to pasteurize it. So if we need to pasteurize it, there has to be a reason. And if the reason is because it's got bacteria in it, it's because it's dirty. And if it's dirty, we need to pasteurize it so that we can kill the dirty germs that are in it. Those of us that advocate the sale of raw milk advocate the production of clean milk. That's all. We think that the milk should be clean to start with, for which it doesn't need any pasteurization. Now, if government wanted to come in and regulate the dairies and say, we're going to insist that you people produce clean milk, they might actually be doing us a favor. It'd probably be the first time in the history of the nation that government ever intervened on behalf of the people for the benefit of people. But that could actually work out to be something worth having government do if they could come in here and legislate and force the big multinational corporations to actually clean up the milk supply so that we had clean milk to drink and clean beef to eat. I mean, you know, the people that are producing this meat that causes this this whole 157 colon H7, I think it is, bacteria. You know, it comes out of these licensed, bonded, and insured, and inspected, and USDA-approved meatpacking houses. And it's not coming to you from some dirty back-alley hamburger salesman, you know. McDonald's and Big Boy and all these hamburger chains, you know, they're not getting their hamburger from South America smuggled into the country, you know, against all odds across the border. They're getting the stuff, you know, it's the legal, lawful stuff that they got USDA stamped approved on it, and then they take it in here, and they tell you very plainly, you know, you got to cook this stuff. You get warnings all the time. Hey, you're eating chicken. My God, don't put that chicken on the same cutting board or the same cutting surface that you're making your salad. This stuff is dirty. You got to cook it. You know, I could make the same argument for clean chicken and clean hamburger that I'm making for clean milk. The reason that they want to irradiate the hamburger, kids, is because they're selling dirty hamburger filled with disease pathogens. And so the solution is, oh, my God, let's not clean up the hamburger, let's go ahead and sell dirty, disease-infested hamburger. But if we do that, we're going to kill a bunch of people, so let's irradiate the hamburger so that we can continue to sell dirty hamburger. Now, how do you like that? Does it make any sense to you? So the government now has licensed the irradiation process. Many, many places that they're producing hamburger now irradiate it. They want to nuke it. I don't want the hamburger that's been nuked, and I don't want the produce that's been irradiated. I would like to buy clean hamburger. I know it's a wild, off-the-wall concept. It's a brand new idea. I want to buy clean milk, a clean hamburger, clean food, and I want it marked and I want it labeled so that I can see what's in it, so that I can decide for myself what's good for me. I know that isn't good for me, and I know that my government and my multinational corporations don't want to put GMO labeling on their products because that would confuse me. And because I'm dumb and I'm ignorant and I don't know what's good for me, and that's why they're not putting that label on the packages. But I want to be wild and daring. I want to know what's in the package. I want to decide for myself what I put in my mouth. I don't want some guy in Washington, D.C. I don't want some guy in a boardroom over at Swift or Armor Star deciding for me what's good for me. I don't want some chemist or some scientist over at Monsanto deciding for me what's best for me. I don't want that. I want freedom of choice. As crazy as that sounds. Now, pasteurization is an excuse for selling dirty milk. Pasteurization may be used to mask low-quality milk. Pasteurization promotes carelessness and discourages the effort to produce clean milk. And I'm a dairyman, and I'm telling you, that's the way it is. So let me confess, that's what I did. Now, I never drank that crap that I produced for you people and put in my clean stainless steel bulk tank and shot penicillin into it to keep the bug count down. I never drank that crap. I sold it to you. But now I'm going to blow the whistle on myself and the rest of the dairymen out there. Now, a lot of dairymen, I'm not talking about most, I'm just saying a lot of dairymen, there's a lot of good guys like me. You know, I'm reformed now, and I want to produce clean milk. And I want to sell clean milk, and I want you people to drink clean milk, good milk, good product. I want you to eat good, clean hamburger. But you can't have that. The government has mandated that you're not going to have that. What you're going to have available for you in your supermarket is dirty, pasteurized milk. And again, I'm going to repeat it. The only reason that it's pasteurized is because it was dirty to start with. Now, you could take clean milk and pasteurize it, or you could take dirty milk and pasteurize it, but the purpose for pasteurization is to clean up dirty milk. It's the solution. Irradiation. The purpose for irradiation is to clean up dirty meat. If the meat was clean, it wouldn't need to be irradiated. Now, boys and girls, we can produce clean meat. And the McDonald's Corporation, a neat book which is called Fast Food Nation, I'll do a report on that one of these days, but the author of Fast Food Nation pointed out that when McDonald's came to their suppliers and said, this is what we want, the suppliers produced it. They shut up, sat out, folded their hands, and produced what McDonald's demanded. That's what they call market clout. If the people of America had the same capacity to make the same kind of economic pressure, put the same economic pressure on the meat packers, you would have clean meat. And if you could put that same pressure on the Mid-American dairies, you would have clean milk. It's just that simple, no big mystery. But big business teams up with big government, and between the two of them, they tell you this is what you're going to eat, and this is the way this is going to be. And they've been doing that for a long time. Now, Professor Fosgate of the Dairy Science Department of the University of Georgia spoke out on pasteurization. He said pasteurization has been preached as a 100% safeguard for milk, and this simply is not true. If milk gets contaminated today, the chances are that it will be after pasteurization. Pasteurized milk and raw milk are equally susceptible to contamination by pathogenic bacteria. Fosgate is probably too conservative. Raw milk contains enzymes and antibodies destroyed by pasteurization that make it less susceptible to bacterial contamination. But Dr. Fosgate stands up for Rosebud and the rest of America's milk-producing ruminants. The dairy cow has been sadly maligned by the dairy and food industry in general. She has been pictured as a veritable typhoid Mary for all of the ills of man, including the common cold, when actually the reverse is true. The full import of this statement will be brought out in the chapter on milk as a therapeutic agent in disease. Now, I'm going to put a little arrow right there and tell you that milk can actually be a medicine. So when God gave us a land of milk and honey, as Dr. Campbell says, the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized. And the land of milk and honey was not pasteurized. Again, let me give you a reminder that Acres USA, Acres, this is the May 2006 Acres USA. If you'd like a copy of this book, William Campbell Douglas's book on the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized, call him at 512-892-4400. It's a real eye-opener. The number again, 512-892-4400. And then if you'd like to actually buy some raw milk and you'd like to find out where it is in your state or where it is in your locality, you can go to www.realmilk.com, www.realmilk.com. Hey, we're about out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here, and we'll take it up right there next time here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But in the meantime, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Hey, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.